In the name of Jesus. Amen. Dear people of God in Christ Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace to you from Him who is our Lord, Him who is the King of Kings, Him who reigns, and Him who shall come to establish His everlasting kingdom. Amen. The sermon hymn for today, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, while you may or may not have been familiar with it, it is pretty much a summation of today's gospel reading. The gospel reading tells about two kinds of people, or two classes, categories of people. Those who, in unbelief, are greatly distressed by the things coming upon the world, and those who look forward to Christ's return as the ultimate liberation, the ultimate redemption from all the bad things in this world that seem to nip at our heels like demonic dogs of some sort, demonic terriers. There's the kind of dog I'm looking for. So, thinking about today's gospel reading this morning, there is fear and there is hope. There is bad news and there is good news. And that's actually pretty much the pattern of God's word. It's kind of like the jokes that you may have heard. Well, I've got good news for you and bad news. Which do you want to hear first? One of Pharaoh's stewards came to him and said, Pharaoh, I've got good news and bad news for you and for the people of Egypt. Which do you want to hear first? And Pharaoh said, well, I'll take the bad news. And Pharaoh's steward told him, well, after this plague of locusts that consumed everything around, the only thing we have for food is the bodies of these locusts. And Pharaoh said, okay, what's the good news? And the steward said, well, there's lots of them to eat. Well, again, that's the way of today's gospel reading. There is bad news. Bad news for those who don't believe. And this is regard to the ultimate final coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in glory. Jesus speaks of a universe that's falling apart at the seams. Jesus speaks of something coming upon the world that will cause distress among the nations, cause perplexity. People will be fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Because the very powers of heaven will be shaken, Jesus says. The things that are so familiar to us as inhabitants of this world will crumble into disarray, will fall apart before our very eyes. It is the birth pangs of the new age that is coming when Christ returns. Now again, people will fear these things. They will be in terror about these things, but that's the bad news for those who don't believe. But there is good news for those of us in Christ. And Jesus speaks of that good news when he says, when these things begin to take place, stand tall. Raise your heads, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. You see, every time something bad happens in this world or in your life, the recent fires in the southeast, the fires that destroyed part of Gatlinburg, the drought that we've been experiencing in the southeast, these things are reminders that this world we live in is temporal. It will not endure forever. This world, you could say, is under judgment on account of the sin of Adam and Eve. Paul writes, all things were subjected to futility on account of that sin. And yet all things shall be redeemed one day, shall be liberated from their slavery to futility and made new in Christ Jesus. When bad things happen to us, and when we see things going on in the world that distress us, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, tsunamis, financial collapse on a nationwide scale, Jesus would tell us, these things are taking place. So stand up straight. Raise your heads, because these things are a reminder that your redemption is drawing near. These things are a reminder that the next step in God's order of salvation is the return of His Son, which the Scriptures teach, and which we confess in the Creed. From thence He shall come again to judge the living and the dead. What about you? Do you fear that judgment? Do you shrink from that judgment? Do you recall all of your sins and think, I am unworthy to stand before the presence of a holy God. I am unworthy to stand before Christ in all of His glory. Well, you're right about one thing. You and I are unworthy. We are sinners. Sin cannot enter into the presence of a holy God. We're told in Scripture that God hates sin. And that's the bad news. The bad news that we have to hear before we can appreciate the good news. And the good news is not that there are a lot of locust bodies lying around for us to live on. The good news is this. All earthly troubles will pass away. Sin and death will be done away with. There shall be no more hunger, no more thirst, no more tears to be shed when Christ returns in glory. Imagine that. It's beyond our power to imagine that all the things, all the bad things that are so much a part of our life in this world will be done away with when Christ returns. And we have reason to hope in the midst of these bad things, because God gave His Son for us for this very purpose, that with sins forgiven, with eternal life bestowed upon us, with God as our Heavenly Father, we need not shrink. There is no cause to shrink from the reappearing of Christ. Instead, that is something that we should long for. Paul teaches the church to pray, Maranatha, which means, come quickly, Lord. Because when He comes quickly, our hope in Him shall be fulfilled. Jesus tells a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Luther says that in the spring, when the trees begin to bud and the flowers are blooming and the grass is green, that is a time of joy. In the spring, a young man's fancy turns to thoughts of love, one of the poets wrote. In the spring, there is a sense of new life. With those warm breezes that blow across the land, we have a spring in our steps. We have a liveliness in our heart as we see a creation that once seemed dead in the chill of winter come to life again. And that life is displayed before our very eyes. So Luther says, When we see these signs of the end of the age drawing near, we too should rejoice and be glad, because we are being prepared to enter into that glorious eternal spring which shall come upon creation when our Lord returns in glory. So when you see these things taking place, know that the kingdom of God is near, the fullness of the kingdom which is ours by promise now, but the kingdom which shall be ours in the fullness of reality when Christ comes, when he comes again. Then Jesus says something curious. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. What does he mean, this generation? Does he mean the people living at the time he spoke those words? Well, in that case, all these things didn't seem to take place. Or maybe Jesus is referring to the destruction that shall come upon Jerusalem and the temple, that the generation of those Jews alive at the present time would see that thing happen, that destruction come upon the holy city. Or maybe he refers to the generation of human beings, the entirety of the human race. Or maybe he is referring to sinners, because sinners will be around in this fallen world until all things are finally fulfilled. You've got your choice of B, C, and D, but the ultimate thing is that the return of Christ is sure to take place. And when he returns, it's going to be let the good times roll for the people of God. So we long for that. And then we have this wonderful promise, this promise to which we cling. Heaven and earth will pass away. They're both temporal. But my words, Jesus says, will not pass away. The word of the Lord endures forever, we read in Isaiah the prophet. The word of God is that which upholds the universe, by which the universe was created. The Word of God is what sustains your life in this world. And as Christians, we don't live by bread alone. We don't live by all the things we accumulate and enjoy in this world. No, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So Jesus has promised great things to us, but he also gives us a warning. He says, watch yourselves, be alert, pay attention to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. Lest you be so distracted by other things that your hope in Christ is pushed aside as of second place in priority, and then third place, and fourth place, and fifth place, until it finally disappears altogether. Watch yourselves that that day not come upon you suddenly like a trap, because it's certainly going to come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. So Jesus says, stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And that's what we are privileged and called to do when we, as a congregation and as individuals, pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. The fullness of the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus when he reappears. Thy will be done. Deliver us from evil. deliver us from the evils of this fallen world. So, our calling, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is to stay awake. Our calling is to long for that great wedding banquet of the Lamb. And here in this world, we long for Christ's word, his word of redemption and grace and mercy. We long for the supper of our Lord. In these means of grace, the Holy Spirit is building up our faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit is giving us the strength to remain in our faith and to escape all the things coming upon the earth, to stand up straight and lift up our heads when we see catastrophe and tragedy and dissolution all around us. For these things will come upon the earth. This earth is merely temporal, although it's been around a lot longer than we have. But we are inheriting an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that has been promised to us in holy baptism, a kingdom of whose citizenship we are reminded every time we gather for worship. And gathering for worship, gathering around the word of Christ, which will not pass away, gathering upon the sacrament of the altar, gathering as those who are baptized, we are being made ready for our ultimate redemption and for the joy that we shall experience when Christ returns in glory. It's a reason to sing Alleluia. Alleluia, an acclamation of praise to the God who has had mercy upon you and upon me by giving us his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.